Good morning. Before we begin, we have several announcements that we'd like to go over. First, the Beeson Town Singers will present Handel's Messiah with choir, soloist, and orchestra on Sunday, December 11th at 5 o'clock at St. Peter's Anglican Church in Uniontown. That's 64 Morgantown Street. There's no charge for the performance, but a free will offering will take place. If you have any questions, see Wanda. Wanda, are you a soloist in that?
I'm not a soloist, but I'm a participant.
But you're singing?
Yes,
okay.
I'm singing.
I have to think that would be the epitome of Christmas, hearing the Messiah. Also, if you also look in your chimes, we have our Carols by Candlelight this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's a beautiful service, and we'd like you all to attend. Then, if you look at the pink sheet, we have all kinds of things going on. It's so exciting. First off, congratulations to Casey and Jocelyn as they bring their son, Brody Michael Yutzi, to be dedicated today. Just happens to be my grandson. Not that I'm proud as a peacock or anything. But also afterwards, we'd like everyone to come and stay afterwards and have some goodies with us to celebrate our grandson's dedication. Also today, we have the junior youth group from 12 to 3. And they're meeting after church, and they're going to have pizza and do crafts and all kinds of cool stuff. Then also today, we have the Christmas party from 4:30 to 7, and we hear that old St. Nick is going to attend that. So you might want to put that one on your calendar. So come and bring your friends and neighbors and join us for that. Then next week, if it doesn't get any better than this today, next week we have our tasting party, which is like, oh my gosh, the best thing ever. And we have our congregational meeting first, right after church, which doesn't normally take long. And then we invite you all to come out to our tasting party. And there we have some fabulous finger foods and hors d'oeuvres and all kinds of cool things. Other than that, if you look at the back of your chimes, we have the Zumba classes on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, Christian's Kids Club on Wednesday, and Circles on Thursday, and Al-Anon and AA meetings Thursday and Saturday. Also today, we have junior choir practice right after church, and that's K through 12. And if you're a child or kid, they'd like to have you. Are there any other announcements?
Baby dedication, two next week.
Also, we have two baby dedications next week. Gabriella, right? Gabriella and Skyline will be dedicated next week. I think we're the cool church this week and next week. Okay, are there any others? Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let us spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. The community comes together to serve God and worship. Our opening hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 119, verses 1, 2, and 3. O come, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord will reign forever. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. For the comfort of night, for the drawing of a new day, for the light touch of your spirit, for the beauties of this Advent season, for the message of joy and hope, we give you thanks and ask your blessing upon us as we have gathered for worship and pray what you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we will have the lighting of the Advent candle. Please look at your pink insert in your chimes. In some ways, Advent is such an unusual season. The stores play Christmas music after Halloween, but in church, we try to hold off until Christmas. We read John the Baptist telling us to make ourselves ready. But culture tells us to make sure we prepare enough gifts. How can Advent be a season of joy when we are called to weeks of reflection and repentance? Let us pray together.
God of repentance and joy, help us to put the focus of the season fully on preparing our hearts for the coming of our Savior. When we have to choose between the preparations of our faith and the grapplings of our culture, guide our choices. We know the joy of following Christ and the fresh experience of that joy that we celebrate Christmas. But we need help in being faithful to the Advent journey. Amen.
We light these three candles to light the way into our Advent journey. Community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Let us give in faith, knowing that Lord will bless. Let us give in hope, trusting that God has a plan. Let us give in confidence, believing in the cause of Christ. Our offertory hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 147, Away in a Manger.
Jesus, stay down his that we give and we dedicate to your honor, all that we kept, we submit to oversight and direction. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. The scripture reading this morning is in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. That's the Old Testament, page 663 in your pew Bible. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and the haunt of the jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become weeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Our anthem this morning by the Sanctuary Choir is Sleep, Little King.
I don't think there's a more beautiful sight than watching a baby sleeping quietly. And then on the other hand, sometimes doesn't sleep quietly, but that's okay. What a miracle. And we are reminded over and over of God's grace and love for us by continuing to grant young children coming into our world. One silent night, out over the white chalked hills of Bethlehem, came a gentle cry. The great ones of the earth did not hear it, for they could not understand how an infant could be greater than a man. At the Christ child's birth, only two groups of people heard that cry. The shepherds, who knew that they did not really know anything, and the wise men, who knew that they did not know everything. Our anthem today is a lullaby, if you can imagine, that Mary was singing to her newborn baby.
Sweet. morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this third Sunday of Advent. As we continue to prepare for the birth of Jesus Christ, of the gift of a child, it is a joy to celebrate the dedication of a child today. And first and foremost, we give prayers of thanksgiving for Brody, and we ask prayers especially for Casey and Jocelyn as they have begun their life as parents, raising him and loving him. We have many other things to give thanks for and many other things to pray for. We want to continue to update one another on our prayer list and those who are on our prayer list. I do want to give thanks. My mother is at the rehabilitation center now. She recovers from her knee surgery and is expected at least one more week and probably two. And so we want to continue to pray for her. This past week, Kay Patterson spent a night at the hospital with some chest pains and some nausea, but she was sent home on, I think, Thursday, and I believe is doing well, and so we want to give thanks to God for that and pray for her. I also was able to visit with another church member this past week and asked for an anonymous prayer of help as well as direction and guidance, and so we lift her up in prayer, knowing that God knows what she needs. We're getting ready for gifts. We're getting ready for presents. What gifts have you been given this past week? What do you want to give thanks for or joys to share first before we lift up our concerns? Owen? Oh, yesterday we got to go see Santa Claus at the Symphony, and Santa had some good jokes, didn't he, that Owen has told everyone. You've probably heard them 3 times already, so we give thanks to that. You can share it afterwards if they haven't heard it. Heidi? Yeah, let's clap for that. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How old is he now?
5 months.
5 months. So, and this is the first time home. So it's great news. This child that we've been praying for a long time, after 5 months, finally gets to be home. That's great news, and we do rejoice to have all the visitors here with us this morning. Welcome. Glad to have you, and on this joyous occasion that you can share with us in this joy. Other joys? Cheryl?
I just want to say that being a part of circles, I find circles to be very joyful in all the work that they do. I'm getting amazed at some of the things that goes on with circles.
It's a wonderful organization and group working with community ministries and meeting here on Thursdays with a number of our own church members, helping to coordinate that to help people who are in poverty to improve their lives and not just give them a temporary help, but to give them a long-term solution. We do give thanks for that program in our community and give thanks that we are able to help in any way that we can. Thank you for sharing that. Ken?
I'm thankful that the Coffee House offers an open mic to people that sing and people that read poetry. Arlo Rimmel was our poet this past Friday, and he had poems about Jesus' life from the announcement circumcision to his death on the cross. I mean, it was like he had little poems all strung together, chronologically talking about Jesus' life, and it was beautiful.
We give thanks for that. We open up our doors for ministry, and sometimes people come and minister to us, and we do think of thanks for the coffee house, for all those who help, and all those who come and participate. Let's continue to give thanks to God. Let's also lift up our concerns before God as we pray, as we get ready to pray together. What concerns do we have this morning as well? Jordan?
I have a full-fledged friend at work. He's also on the 10th of the shift. This week he lost his 23-year-old daughter to cancer. And prior to that, he lost 2 sons. So let's keep him in prayer.
What is his name?
Well, he's asking this stuff.
Okay.
All
right, we'll pray for Bob.
His last name's Bob.
Okay.
And you never will know that anything is going on at home, especially with his close sons that has already passed away, because he puts you in mind of a very happy, happy person, and he knows where everybody is, and how he has his special.
We pray for Bob and his family, now having lost a third child to cancer, or at least having passed away, and a daughter, 23-year-old daughter passed away. Any others? Mike? Pray for Ed's family on his passing. Thank you. Teresa? Pray for your friend's nephew, 34 years old, suffering heart failure. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Come, O long-expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our fears and sins release us, and let us find our rest in Thee. You are strength and consolation and hope of all the earth. Thou art dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. We sing this each Advent, Lord, but we pray it each Sunday, that You may come into our hearts and in our lives and into our world, that You may change them for the better and forever. We long for You, to know You and to be with You and to feel Your presence in our lives. When we confess, Lord, that often we have been quick to speak but slow to listen, quick to voice opinions but slow to consider others, quick to defend ourselves but slow to support others, quick to criticize and slow to praise. We come and we ask that You be in our life, but we also ask that You pardon us and forgive us when we have not let You into our life. For the sins of tongue and ear, the sins of action and inaction. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to learn more closely, deeply, and truly the love of Jesus Christ, Your Son who came into this world as a small child and changed it forever. We gather at this time and we give thanks for gifts received, presents opened and enjoyed, for good news that has been shared. For baby Eli, after 5 long months, longer, I bet, for his parents than he, finally gets to come home. And we rejoice at this good news and for his family. And we rejoice at the chance to dedicate a child to You, a gift given to a family, new parents. We pray for Brody and for Casey and for Jocelyn and all those gathered here who have gathered to offer support and love and joy. For Jana Stowell, recovering from surgery, we give thanks and pray that her pain will be eased each day and that her therapy will speed her recovery. For the chance to impact lives in our community through the Circles program and the Coffee House and other ministries, we give thanks. And give thanks for all those who give of their time to help others and to share Your joy and Your love because others have shared it with them. We give thanks for all these things, and we pray for help as well. We pray that Your Spirit will come upon this world. Enter into the hearts of each person, lighting them like a candle that they may make brightness within the darkness. In particular, we lift up Bob Loudon, who has lost so much. We pray that in his pain and his sorrow, he will turn to You. We pray that His children are with You and that this may bring Him comfort, that knowledge that He may see them again. But for now, Lord, be with him. Rest with him. May Your Spirit fall upon him. The Spirit of comfort and counsel. We pray the same for the family of Ed, for his wife and children, on his passing. And we pray for those who are sick. So many in our lives, so many in our community, in particular, lift up Ken as he battles heart failure at such a young age. Pray that your spirit of healing may be felt and known, and the spirit of renewal be the gift this Christmas. We pray this for each other. We pray this for the world. We pray this for ourselves, Lord. Help to revitalize us and renew us and bring us closer together. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. The joy of every longing heart. Our strength and consolation. Our hope and our salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon.
Good morning. Seats? Y'all excited? Do you like Christmas songs? Okay, well, I want to tell you about a song that is not exactly a Christmas song, but is kind of appropriate this time of year. It is a song called My Favorite Things. It's from a musical called The Sound of Music. Maybe you've heard of that, maybe you've seen it. And in it, Maria, who's taking care of many, many little children, sings about some of her favorite things, and some of them are whiskers on kittens. You like that? And snowflakes on eyelashes, which is why sometimes it gets played at this time. But the main reason it gets played around Christmas time is because one of her favorite things are brown paper packages tied up in strings. Okay? Would you like that? Would you like that? Would you like a package tied up in a string? Why does she like that? What are brown paper packages tied up in strings? Presents! Exactly.
Presents.
You like presents?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, now we're talking. Okay, so that's one of her favorite things. Now, if I were to ask you, what's one of your favorite things, what would it be? What would it be?
Star Wars.
Star Wars, what?
Good sandwich.
Okay, what else? Okay, Chopkins.
3DS.
Okay, 3DS, video games?
PlayStation 3.
Ponies, all right. Toys, okay. Excellent. All right, so we got a whole bunch of things here. Last one.
A bunny rabbit.
A bunny rabbit. So a bunny rabbit and a pony, so we got some animals and some toys, video games, that sort of thing. Now, that was pretty awesome, and if you got those things on Christmas morning, you would be happy, right?
Yes.
Okay. What if you got none of those things on Christmas morning? What if you got no things on Christmas morning? It would be a bad day? A bad Christmas morning? Or would it be an example, a proof that you were bad, Owen? Yeah, so be careful with that. You wouldn't be happy, I understand, because on Christmas you're very excited about all the things you're going to get, and so when the song My Favorite Things comes on, it totally seems so appropriate, because that's what Christmas is about, right? It's about the things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But, listen, it's not. Can I tell you something? The best things in life are not things. What does that mean? That's like a brain twister, isn't it? What does that mean? Well, the best thing in life are not things. On the first Christmas, did they get brown paper packages tied up in strings? Toys? No, 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 no.
We don't get boxes.
No, they didn't even get boxes on Christmas. Yeah, seriously, some people... But on the first Christmas, no, they didn't get boxes wrapped in wrapping paper. Where did they get on the first Christmas? A baby. Yes. Any baby? Jesus. Very good. And that was the best thing. The best things in life are not things. What are the best things in life? Babies.
Toys.
Puppies. No. Love. Family.
Baby bottles.
Baby bottles represent babies, and they are good too. Now, I hope that you do are good. I hope that you do get some things on Christmas. I understand how you like that. However, we must always remember that if you got 1,000 things, but you didn't have any friends, if you got 1,000 toys, but you didn't have a mommy or a daddy, if you got 1,000 ponies,
I know it's
1,000 bunny rabbits.
100.
Okay, but you didn't have Jesus to always be with you and love you and to bring you up to heaven. I don't think it would be a very happy Christmas.
Well,
you know why? Because the best things in life are not things. Let's cherish that the most, okay? Ask me afterwards. Okay. Alright, so the best things in life are not things. Owen would like to share his favorite joke from yesterday, and this is how we'll end. Alright, what is it?
How do you know when Santa's near?
How do you know when Santa's near?
You can sense his presence.
Sense his presence. Alright. See? Best things in life are not things. Thank you. You can go to your class.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. You can find that in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible, and that is on page 57, chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. We continue reading of the announcement of the birth of Jesus to Mary. She has been told by the angel. She now responds with what we call the Magnificat. It reads, Mary says, Mary sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Christmas approaches, I worry a little bit about my children's faith. Now, not so much their faith in God or their faith in Jesus Christ, but I worry a little bit about their faith in Santa Claus. And it's not even that I am afraid that they might get to an age that they will no longer believe or that they'll get excited on Christmas morning. I worry, actually, that they might believe a little too much. Especially Owen. He's coming up on 9 now, and his faith is perhaps stronger than it's ever been. It's really a remarkable thing to listen to him figure things out, spell things out, explain things out the way that has to work in his head. And this year is the first year for the Elf on the Shelf. We've never had that at our house. It has not been overly successful in improving behavior, but it sure has brought them a lot of joy. And if you're not familiar with this, one of the things is that the elf goes home at midnight to go see Santa Claus and report on the children, and then he comes back in the morning. And you're not supposed to touch him. If so, he will lose his magic, and then he won't work. And Owen was so afraid when his grandfather came to watch him that he might not know that. And he might accidentally touch it and ruin the magic. That he made sure to greet him at the door and to give him the entire explanation and all the instructions necessary to keep that magic going. And so the issue isn't so much that I'm afraid that he'll lose his faith, but what happens one day when he realizes that Christmas isn't so much about Santa as about Jesus? There's a great radio show I listened to called This American Life, and they had a story of a family that really wanted to make Christmas memorable for the children, really wanted to make it a memorable experience that they would never forget, and they succeeded too well. At some point, they asked someone to dress up as Santa Claus, rent a sleigh, pretend to have crashed it. They lived out in the countryside, down in the woods, away from their house. The dad then told the kids, "Hey, I heard some noise. Why don't you go see what that is?" The kids go down and they see Santa with a wrecked sleigh and a reindeer that they rented from somewhere. And he offered to give the kids a ride to the North Pole. And anyway, so the kids come back and they tell the story, and the dad recorded it for posterity. So they play it on the radio. These kids are 7, 8, 9, 10, and it's just amazing. And as they grow up, three of the children remember this as a really cool thing that happened, a childhood memory that they cherish. Do you need to go to the bathroom? Go. Where are you going? Go. What are you doing? I'm sorry. Oh, Tanya, Zayden needs you. Okay. There's our little Christmas elf. So one child, when he's like 12 years old, believes that what had happened was true and real, and nobody can convince him otherwise, including all the other kids at school, which leads to some very difficult moments and also some fights. So the teacher asks the parents, "Will you please tell him not to talk about it so much, because it's starting some arguments and some problems." So they do that. And so the story then, as they tell it in the radio, revolves around this guy who's now in his 20s and still has a hard time believing that it wasn't true, and it causes him to lose some faith in his parents. He claims that this is why he can't have a girlfriend, because he can't trust anybody. It really messes him up. So I wonder, how will my children handle disappointment when one day disappointment will come? When one day things are not as magical as they once were? I know when I was in high school, Christmas just wasn't that much fun for a while. Really, even through college, Christmas was just something to get through. Because, you know, if I knew what the presents were, the magic was gone. It's a question we all must confront, because our faith is something that we believe in and cannot prove or trust, or rather, I guess, know for certain, but also because our faith comes with it very large promises, so much so that we are bound at some point to be disappointed. At one point or another, we must deal with that. And it's no more so than at Christmas time. For instance, in our first scripture today is one of the scriptures we read the most at Christmas, the promise of Isaiah, the promise the prophet gives his people, a people who are in exile, people who are struggling. He gives them the promise, and he doesn't give them one promise. He gives them about a dozen promises, each one more incredible than before, saying, "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. Water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand, it shall become a pool. The thirsty ground, springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there. It shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I'm sorry, I said that there was a dozen promises. I know there were 24 promises in there, and each one more incredible than before. The people have seen their homeland destroyed, their temple ransacked. They have been cast out into a foreign land, and the prophet Isaiah says, it's going to be really, really good. Things are going to be really, really great. And we know that, first off, a lot of these things don't exactly happen. The desert is still the desert. And we also know that most of the people who heard these words never got to experience them. The exile lasted about 60 years. Many people died before anyone was able to return. And then, on top of all that, when the people do return, they build a new temple, which does not happen right away. The book of Nehemiah tells us that many people saw the new temple and wept for the beauty of the old. There's a lot of disappointment in the Bible. There's a lot of disappointment in our faith, and it moves from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because then also, we heard Mary, after being promised a child, saying that God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty, helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. And whenever I read that, I ask myself, has he done that? Did he do that? Because we know that King Herod is still around, causing all kinds of problems. That would be the powerful from the throne. He has lifted up the lowly, but boy, a lot of lowly are still down. A lot of the things, if we take these promises so literally, they just don't come true. Christmas began with some very large promises. And how did the people handle the disappointment? Well, we know that first off, many people were disappointed that the Messiah was a baby. And so missed it, ignored it, disbelieved it. We also know that many people were disappointed when Jesus grew up. He hung out with the wrong people. Said a few of the things that they didn't like. Challenged some people they didn't like. And even his closest disciples, upon his death and crucifixion, were pretty much ready to toss it in the towel, to give up and believe that they had believed wrong. And it took for them an appearance by the crucified but resurrected Christ to reignite their faith and get the ball rolling again on God's saving work. And then we know that in the early church, they had a lot of disappointments. They believed that they had followed the right person. They believed that they had understood that God's gift to the world was a baby who became a man, who saved us all, Gentiles and Jews. And things did not go very well for them, by and large. And they were disappointed about it. Facing persecution, facing argument, facing the fact that the wrongs had not been righted. The problems had not been solved. The pathways had not been made straight. The mountains had not been brought down or the valleys raised up. It challenged their faith, this disappointment. And 2,000 years later, the church has been established. The history is secure. All across the world, people now worship and celebrate the risen Lord. And you know what's happening. You see what goes on. Every Christmas we sing, let there be peace on earth. Go tell it on the mountain. What have you. Joy to the world. And we know that every Christmas comes and goes without there being peace on earth. Goodwill to all. How do we handle the disappointment? I can tell you that when I was younger, I did not handle disappointment very well at all. When I was 16 years old, I wanted my first guitar. That is, I don't think I had ever wanted anything more than that. And I went out with my brother, and we went shopping around to find it, because this is the day when I could tell my parents, this is what I want. You know, in other words, this is what I expect under the tree. So my brother and I, we went around, and we looked at different guitars, and We found the one I liked, and on Christmas morning, it wasn't there. There was no brown paper package tied up with string. There was, well, there were, but it wasn't that one. It wasn't guitar-shaped. So I opened the presents, and it wasn't there, and I'm not saying I threw a fit, but man, I was a little disappointed, and my Christmas was less joyful. But you know what? My brother, this is what he does to me. He's older. It's his fault. He hid it in his room, and he waited for me to throw a little fit, and then he would say things like, "Aw, brother, I'm disappointed in you. I thought you knew that Christmas was more than things. Aw, brother, I thought you knew that Christmas is all about joy in your heart. Aren't you happy that Jesus was born?" Well, I was, but I would have been a lot happier if I could have sung about it on my new guitar. I deserve sainthood for dealing with my brother. So anyways, eventually he lets me know. He's like, "Well, maybe it's in my room. Maybe there's something in my room for you." And so I go, and there's my guitar. And it was great. And I loved it. But he did teach me a lesson, didn't he? I mean, if my guitar had not been in there, still, joy to the world, for the Lord has born. But we all go through this, and it's part of growing up, because we think that Christmas is about things, and we do think that the best things in life are things. And whenever Santa asks people what they want, if it's kids, it's always something. And as adults, maybe it's something, or maybe it's not a thing, but something else. So, we almost handle disappointment in our life, because we know that even if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, even if we follow Him to the letter and do all of things, it will not always go well for us. So let us realize that the promises that God has given us have been fulfilled. Yes, oftentimes the strong win, but many times the lowly have been lifted up. Oftentimes the wrong prevails, or seems to, but also does the right. And I believe that in a world without Christmas, the wrong would always prevail. But with the light that has been brought into the world, sometimes beautiful things do happen. Let's also recognize that every blessing is a victory in itself. 10 things go wrong, but if one thing goes right, it is a good day. Let's also accept that it all happens in God's time. And let that bring comfort to us, even as it frustrates us. Many, many hundreds of years, people waited for a Messiah. And then when He came, they waited for Him to grow up. And then when He did, they waited for the church to come. We want the kingdom in our own lifetime, but it did not happen for Mary. It did not happen for the Apostle Paul. It did not happen for Martin Luther. It did not happen for Alexander Campbell or any of the saints of the church. They all get to see some aspect of the kingdom coming into being, but not the entirety. And chances are, neither will we. For in the eyes of God, a day is like 1,000 years. And the first Christmas was really then not that long ago. Our part is very small, but very important. Let us live our lives as best we can, and enjoy the signs of the kingdom as they come, knowing that God holds the future and its promises. Life is full of disappointments, but even that can be a blessing, because keeping the faith, even when things do not go exactly as we had hoped, is an essential skill in life as in faith. We often learn more from our failures and disappointments than we do our successes and our triumphs. If my kids don't get everything they want, and they will not, I will tell them, "Well, maybe you weren't as good as you could have been. Or maybe you could try next year. Maybe you could do a little bit better." And maybe that should be the same for us. If you get a new coat, but you don't get peace on earth this year, if you get jewelry, but you don't get goodwill to all, if your house is filled with bright little packages tied up in string, but the lion is not yet ready to lie down with the lamb, if the brother is not quite ready to bury the grudge with the sister, if the neighbor is not quite ready to make amends with the neighbor, I hope you will not lose faith, even if you are disappointed. I hope you will take from this that the world is not quite ready yet, and perhaps we will try a little bit harder or a little bit different in the coming year to make the path straight, to make the world ready for the Savior to come again. If you want there to be peace on earth, then it must begin with you and with me. So let us spread a little more cheer, share a little more joy, and give a little more love, turning our disappointments into lessons for growth, so that each Christmas will come a little bit closer to fulfilling the promise of Christ than the last. Amen. As we celebrate a child being born unto us, it is my joy now to celebrate the dedication of a child being born among us. In this time, I invite the family of Brody and Michael Yutzi to come forward as we dedicate him to God. Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as they. Anyone who refuses to come to God as a little child will never be allowed into his kingdom. The Gospel of Mark. Jocelyn, Casey, this congregation rejoices with you and the gift of this child entrusted to your loving care. We are glad that you, moved by the blessings and responsibilities of parenthood, have brought your child to the house of God to show your gratitude and to acknowledge your need for God's help in fulfilling your responsibilities properly. In doing this, you are observing a custom which had its beginnings in the hearts of devout and grateful parents many centuries ago. In the scriptures, we read that Hannah brought the child Samuel to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and that Mary and Joseph presented the infant Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. No ceremony has the power to change the character of a person or alter one's relationship to God. Nevertheless, the measure of consecration which you give, the faithfulness with which you exemplify the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, will determine in large measure your child's character and eternal destiny. And so I ask you both, do you now present your child before God in dedication? Do you covenant to rear this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise before this congregation and before God to instruct your child in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer and to provide guidance in the development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to shape the home life of your child so that both by family worship experience and by your own words and example, at the proper age, he may naturally come to an open confession of faith in Jesus Christ and into the fellowship and service of the church? The responsibility for the Christian upbringing of this child rests not entirely upon the shoulders of these parents. For good or ill, the neighborhood, the nation, indeed the entire world will bear influence. Since as Christians we are members one of another, the responsibility must be shared by all. As an evidence then of the willingness of this congregation to participate as fully as you can in the creation of a Christian environment for this child, and indeed all children, will you, the members of this church, please stand and join in the prayer of dedication. Let us pray. For all your gracious gifts to us, O God, we give grateful thanks, especially for this young child whom we desire to dedicate this day to you. Bless what we do here, to the end that this child may increase in wisdom and stature, and in favor with you and with all humankind. Grant that the vows made here in this service may be faithfully performed. Give all of us some measure of Christ's love and appreciation of children. Help us to do our part in building a world wherein all children may grow up in health and happiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I say to you, unless you turn and become like this child, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles oneself like Brody is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me.
cycle, you'll see, to the service of God and into the joy of this congregation. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this blessing, this wonderful gift. We ask also that you bless these parents. Help them in these early days of parenthood to hold on to all the joy when we're getting difficulties, and to be a support for one another, and help our congregation be a support for them. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us give thanks to God together. Bye-bye. Of course, we have an opportunity after this service to share our joy with them and to get a closer look at the baby if you have not had the opportunity, and I invite you to linger afterwards to share in the fellowship and the food that awaits. But for now, let's gather at this table for all members of this all believers in Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in the congregation, are invited to come forward and share in the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness as we sing our communion hymn, which is in a bulletin behind the pulpit.
Page 159. There's a song in the air.
Junior choir will be singing next Sunday three hymns, three songs, and one of them will be Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and I really like that song for many reasons. Of course, it's one of my favorite hymns, but also it is such an important part of the Charlie Brown Christmas special. It's really the turning point when everybody seems to understand and to get the true message of Christmas. But I also like it, or I also just think about it a lot, because whenever my kids hear it or sing it, they always ask me, what does hark mean? And I tell them, hark means to listen, which you would know if you had listened the last five times I've told you what this word means. It's an important word, hark, listen. It's an important command. Because really, at Christmas time, we work so hard to prepare for the birth of Christ and to prepare for Christmas, but really, one of the only commands we have is to listen. You know, of course, that in the early days, the very first Christmas, that the people were so busy as they prepared for the census and as they prepared for the winter. And you know that many of them missed it. If only they had set aside things and listened, perhaps it wouldn't have just been the shepherds who heard the angels. Perhaps it wouldn't have just been the wise men who understood the star. And the message is just as true for us today. There's a whole lot that we have to do and a whole lot that we do to get ready for Christmas, but it can cause us to miss the most important thing, and that is to hear what God is saying to us today. And so we have this table, we have this meal, we have this time to put aside all the things that keep us so busy and distracted, and push aside all those voices in our head that are always competing for attention. Let's do that now. Let us share in this meal and let us hark to hear what the angels are saying. And maybe we'll hear something new this year. Maybe we'll hear something special that we need to hear and have been ignoring for a while. So let us hark. Hearken. And now let us pray.
Dear Lord, as we gather before this table today, I'm sure there are many minds out there in the congregation, mostly women like myself, that are thinking not about this simple meal, but about all the cookies that still need baked, and ice, and the ham, the perfect ham that needs picked, and who's bringing what casserole, and how many more presents need wrapped. But what we really need to remember is, and the famous words of mine is from Charlie Brown, the real meaning of Christmas is the angel telling us that the gift of peace on earth and goodwill toward all men is the true gift of Christmas. Not just the gift of the baby Jesus, not just the gift of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, but the gift that we give each other through living a life of peace and goodwill toward men. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. That on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and after he blessed it, he gave thanks for it, broke it, and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Now the community responds to the Word of God. If any gathered here wish to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward. As we sing our invitational hymn, number 155, Angels We Have Heard on High, verses 1 and 4, let us stand as we sing.